As I begin my sermon this afternoon, I'd like to ask a question. What is your priority in life? For instance, if you're a student, is the priority in your life studying? If you are a mother, is your priority your children? And I suppose your husband. If you are a husband, what is your priority? Is it to love your wife? To love your children? Or do you think more of your work? It's a good question, isn't it, as we think of the subject of priorities in life, or, as I've entitled this message, First Things First. I'd like to look with you, first of all, at the passage that we have read here in Mark chapter 2, the first 12 verses. And I want to consider, first of all, then with you, the priorities for the paralyzed man, or as he's called here, the man with the palsied man, or the paralyzed man. Now, no doubt, as we think of the priorities for this paralyzed man, his personal priority would probably have been to get healed. If you were paralyzed, and you heard of someone who could heal you from your paralysis, wouldn't you want to go there and try and see if he could heal you? So as far as he was concerned, I'm sure that his first priority would be to get healed from his paralysis. Now, the second people that we want to mention here is his friends. The friends also had a priority. Let's read again here. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. In other words, the people heard that he was in the house. The fact that a definite article is used here indicates that this was the house that Jesus used as his headquarters, as his base. So, although he was originally, well, he was born in Bethlehem, but then he went to Nazareth, but he actually spent his time more in Capernaum than in Nazareth. And Capernaum, that one particular house, was the house that he would stay. And as the people know, actually, the last part of chapter 1, verse 45, we're told that he was in a desert place. And so he was in a desert, deserted place there. From there now he comes to Capernaum. And many people hear about that. And so they all gather in that particular house. They knew what the house was. So when it was noised that he was in the house, the people all went there. And verse 2, straightway, many were gathered together, so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. So, you know, the rooms in the house were all filled with people. Even near the door, there was no space there. Everybody in town wanted to come to listen to what Jesus had to say. And he preached the word unto them. And it is then that we see the friends of the paralyzed man coming in. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four, which was carried by four people, would have a little mat, a little mattress, and one at each corner, so four of them carrying there to bring their sick friend to Jesus. And just as it would have been the priority of the paralyzed man, the palsied man, to be healed, the four friends that he had, they also had a priority, and it was the priority to bring their palsied friend to Jesus. That was their priority. Now, this was not an easy job. You know, if you picture this in your mind, here they are going through the streets of Capernaum, carrying this little mat or mattress along with their friend on there. Be pretty heavy. No easy handles to carry it. But there they go through the streets. Now they come to the house where the paralyzed, where Jesus is, and, you know, they try the front door and, well, there's just too many people. They can't get through, you know. And then they try the back door, and they can't get through there either. And I wonder how many of us, if we would have been there, would have given up. Say, well, sorry, we tried. But you know, we just can't get in. Front door, people are there. Back door, crowds of people there too. You know, we just cannot bring you to Jesus. But you know, it's interesting. They were determined to bring the paralytic to Jesus. And when there is a will, there is a way. You know, I'll never forget this particular phrase, a will away. When I graduated from high school, 50 years ago now, 1961, my parents gave me a gift. Now, all of us graduating, we all got gifts from parents, you know, and you know, some of them, I think, got cars, you know. As if graduating from high school is such a major accomplishment that it deserves a car. But anyway, that's what some Americans did in those days. My parents gave me a dictionary. Can I still use that dictionary? It's an obelisk, but I still use it. Maybe I should bring it here. I don't know. But in the front, my parents wrote, a will away. And that's why I'll never forget that phrase, because that was my parents. All right, you've now finished high school. Now go on to uni. You know, are you going to finish it? A will away. If you are determined to accomplish something, you will find a way to do it. All right, thank God I was able to finish uni and seminary. But here, these four friends, you know, can't get in the front door, can't get in the back door. How are we going to bring you to Jesus? Well, they looked around. And remember, houses in the Holy Land, still today, flat roof, little balustrade or railing around it, so you don't accidentally fall off. And the staircase to go up is outside the house. Not inside, but it's outside. And so they went up the outside staircase. And when they could not come nigh or near unto him for the press because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And so they went up to the outside staircase. Again, must have been quite a trick, carrying this little mattress up there, but they managed to get him up there, trying to find out where exactly is Jesus located. And then they started digging at the roof material, removing it. You know, you can imagine the people down below. Hey, what's up there? You know, and listening and watching, and pretty soon they see an opening in the ceiling. They see some faces, and then somehow they see a little mattress coming down. Now all of a sudden there was space. They all somehow make their way back so there was room for the paralyzed man to come right there in front of Jesus. But you know, that was the priority for these four friends, to bring their sick friends to Jesus. And they accomplished that goal that they had set. It wasn't easy, but they accomplished their goal. So they had their priorities. But now, as we see it, all right, the paralyzed man, his priority was to get healed. The four friends, their priority was to bring the paralyzed man to Jesus. But now, we see the priority of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he saw their faith, verse 5, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He doesn't say, take up your bed and walk. He doesn't say, I congratulate you, it wasn't an easy job, but you have accomplished your goal, you brought your friend to me. He says, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now that caused quite a stir, by the way. Quite a stir there. There were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Well, I suppose we have an advantage, don't we? Because we know that Jesus is God. So when they say, who can forgive sins but God only, we know and say, well, he is God, so he can forgive sins. But they didn't know that. Now, immediately, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves. And so he said to them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? Well, which is easier to say? Your sins be forgiven, or take up your bed and walk? Well, if I say your sins are forgiven, there's no change, is there? You know, you don't all of a sudden have a mark on your forehead that says saved. You know, we don't have that. But if I say, take up your bed and walk, let's see. Can he really walk? We know he's paralyzed. Remember, towns weren't very big in those days. You know, chances are everybody knew everybody in town. The visitor came or a stranger came to town, everybody would immediately know, hey, they have a stranger here. So everybody knew everybody in those days. And so, we know that this man is paralyzed. Now, if all of a sudden he would start walking, we know that something has really happened. So what's easier to say? For your sins are forgiven? Yep, that's easier to say. Because if I say, take up your bed and walk, then we're going to see if he can really walk. And if he can't, well, let me know that you're a liar. But see, Jesus says, what's easier to say? You know, it's easier to say, forgive your sins. But to prove to you, all right, but that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he turns to the sick of the palsy. I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. To show to you, to prove to you, that I have the power to forgive sins, I'm going to heal him. And immediately, he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. We never saw anything like this. Here the man has been paralyzed. You know, and all of a sudden now, look, he can walk. Marvelous miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ performed. But he did it to prove that he had the power to forgive sins. So the paralyzed man, his priority was to get healed. The four friends, their priority was to bring their sick friend to Jesus. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he really put first things first. He put the most important things first. Son, thy sins be forgiven. Let me ask you another question. How long do you expect to live here on this earth? 70? 80? 90? 100? My one auntie in Hollis turned 95 last month. She's getting up in years. I better go and see her. Not next week, don't worry. Alright. Lord willing, I'll go and see her in August. But, you know, as they get older, we know that sooner or later, they go to be with the Lord. But here's another question. How long is eternity? I think it's longer than 70, 80, or 90 years. Remember, you've got to live somewhere forever. Young people watched a DVD last night at the Young Adult Fellowship, and the speaker brought that out, you know, as he talked. You've got to live somewhere forever. Now, he didn't know I was going to say that today in my message, because that was a DVD recorded some time ago. But the truth is there. We've got to live somewhere forever. And it will either be in heaven or in hell for eternity. So, another question here. Which then is more important? The physical or the spiritual? What would be more important for the paralytic? To be healed or to have his sins forgiven? The Lord Jesus Christ put first things first. He knew that the spiritual is more important than the physical. Now, do you know that? Do you realize that? The spiritual is more important than the physical. And that's why Jesus begins by saying, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, I want to leave this passage and turn over. In my Bible, it is just one page. I'm not sure if it's on the same page or a different page for you. But I would like you to look at chapter 3 in Mark's Gospel, beginning at verse 13. Now, we read that passage also this past week in our Daily Manna reading. By the way, just to mention about the Daily Manna, this morning, the Avondale Baptist Church also had the Lord's Supper. And the person who led actually read from Daily Manna. So the Avondale Baptist Church people are also reading Daily Manna, and I hope you're reading it. But as we read this past week, we also read in chapter 3, let me begin in verse 13. "And he, Jesus, goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him. And he ordained, or set apart, or appointed 12, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out devils or demons. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him." So he gives the name of those 12. But I want you to see, as we look at verses 14 and 15, that the Lord Jesus Christ also set priorities for these disciples. He set priorities for them in serving him. Now the first thing, "And he ordained 12 that they should be with him." That's the first thing. That they should be with him. In other words, that they should stay close to the Lord. That they should be in fellowship with the Lord. And for 3 years, they were with him. They traveled with him. When he was in Galilee, they were in Galilee. When he traveled down to Judea, they traveled down to Judea with him. When he was in Samaria, they were in Samaria with him. You know, they traveled with him for 3 years. They were with him. That was the first thing, their first priority. But then there was a second priority for these disciples as well. And he ordained them, ordained 12. That first of all, they should be with him, and then secondly, that he might send them forth to preach. So that was the second priority, that they might go forth to preach. In other words, for them to have a spiritual ministry. But then there's a third priority as well, verse 15, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out demons. In other words, that is a physical outreach or a physical ministry. But notice the order that our Lord gives there as he calls his 12 disciples. Be with me, be with him, be with the Lord, preach, and then third area of responsibility, that would be your physical outreach. Heal sickness, cast out the demons. All right. So we have seen in chapter 2 of Mark there, the priorities for the paralyzed man, his priority, the friend's priority, but Jesus' priority was very different. "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now you see the priorities that Jesus gives to his disciples, as he calls them, be with me, preach, spiritual ministry, heal the sick, physical ministry. All right? But now, we come to a third area, and that is priorities for us. Priorities for you. Priorities for me. I began by asking, what is your priority in life? Maybe this is a good time to ask that question again. What is your priority in life? What is my priority in life? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? is here your priority in life? Is it your desire to have your sins forgiven and to have eternal life? Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ made forgiveness of sin the greatest priority for the paralyzed man. That was his priority for the paralyzed man, that his sins be forgiven. Now, consider again, alright? First verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. As he created, that included the creation of the first man, the first woman, Adam and Eve. Those of you that are studying 2 o'clock, the book of Genesis, you know you're very familiar with some of these things here. God put man in the Garden of Eden. And God said, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for on the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And we know that Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Their sin brought death into the world. Following Adam and Eve, all have sinned. Bible makes it very clear, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because we have sinned, we deserve eternity in hell. Sin must be punished. That's what God said. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. That's God speaking. Sin must be punished. But, I like that little word but, don't you? Sometimes but sounds bad, but sometimes but is good. In this case, it's good. You know, sin must be punished, but God is willing to accept the death of a substitute. You know, when you play sporting events, sometimes you can have a substitute go in. You know, player is injured, time for him to come out, send in a substitute. I can remember many years ago playing soccer, you know, the rule was if one of the players got injured, well, then you just continue playing with 10 men. If two got injured, well, then you continue playing with 9. But more recently they said, no, well, in that case we'll allow you to substitute. Of course, one man can only substitute for one man. So, if Jesus Christ was only a man, he could substitute for only one man, or one woman, one person. But because he is not only a man, but also God, that substitution is of infinite value. Because he is a man, he can substitute for mankind. But because he is God, that substitution is good for all. So that all can be saved because Christ has substituted. So God is willing to accept the death of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our substitute. And when we admit that we are sinners, now that's the big if right there, because many people are not willing to admit that they're sinners. But when we are willing to admit sinners, and I guarantee you we are, no question there. We sin in thought. We sin in word, in what we say. We sin in our deeds, the things that we do. And we do that because we are born with a sinful nature. Blame Adam for that. He was the first one to sin. And his sin is passed on to us. So that when we are born today, it's with a sinful nature. Now, which came first, the chicken or the egg? That's an easy question to answer. God made chickens, not eggs. All right, so the chicken came before the egg. Which came first, the sinner or the sin? All right, which came first, the sinner or the sin? In Adam's case, the sin came first, and he became a sinner. But in our case, we are born as sinners. We are born with a sinful nature. And then as we grow up, we sin in thought, word, and deed. Now we've got some cute babies around here, don't we? I know Natasha's in the choir room, you know, one of these cute little girls, cute little baby, but she's already a sinner. I can hear Casey on the back. I don't mind. I have a microphone, she's out. But you know, she's a sinner. And so are all of us. We're all sinners. Because we are born sinners. So which came first, the sinner or the sin? In our case, sinner. And as we grow up, we sin in thought, word, and deed. Now, when we admit that we are sinners, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when we confess our sins to God, and again, that's something that some people don't like to do. No, no, no. You know, I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm okay. You're okay. We're not okay. We're sinners. We must confess our sins to God and then ask Him to forgive us. And when we do that, He will forgive us. That's a wonderful promise from God. If we confess our sins, He will forgive us. Remember, last week I mentioned the promise there, Matthew 28. You know, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And the one pastor said, isn't that a wonderful promise? And the one lady said, that's not a promise, that's a fact. Well, the same thing here, I can say. When we confess our sins to God, admitting that we're sinners, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when we ask Him to forgive us, it's a fact. He will do that. Thank God for that. Now, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Some of you will be able to say, yes, I have. But maybe there are some here today that cannot say that. You have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. If that is the case, I would urge you, do so today. Don't put it off. The Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. You know the story, tomorrow never comes. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. If you have never come to Christ, confess your sins to Him. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to save you. Do so today. But I want to talk a little bit more too. If you are a Christian, in other words, you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, does He have first place in your life? Remember when He chose His disciples, He ordained 12 that they should be with Him. You know, the priority for the disciples was that they should be with Him, be with Jesus. And if you're a believer, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, your first priority is that we should be with Him. Read this word daily. Pray daily. Attend the regular services of the church. Fellowship with other believers. All these are part of being with Him. So if you are a believer, is He the priority in your life? But I want to go one step further yet. If you serve on a missions team, alright? Lord willing, we'll have a team going through Esperance this year. Lord willing, the end of this year, early next year, and maybe one, two teams, three teams, I don't know, going to Myanmar. Number of people have spoken to me. They're interested in going to Myanmar. But whether it is Esperance or Myanmar or wherever God may lead you, remember the priorities. First, things first. Stay close to the Lord and be in fellowship with Him. Make sure that you are saved. That is the first priority. Then have a spiritual ministry by trying to lead souls to Christ and by teaching the Word of God. Because in Myanmar, we see the poverty that is there. But that is not the first priority. The first priority is to try to win these people to Christ, to teach them the Word of God. And it's only the third priority that we do physical outreach, such as medical work and the giving of relief. I'm not saying don't do those things. What I'm saying is that is not the number one priority. It's the number three priority. You can have more than one priority. The first things first. The spiritual is first. Salvation, that is first. After the salvation, then we can minister the Word of God to them. And then, having done that, we can give them the physical help that they need. Medical help, relief, whatever we can do to help these people. Louis Hartzell, name that you may not be familiar with, was born on the 31st of August in 1828 in Ithaca in the state of New York in the United States. He died, by the way, on the 1st of January 1919. After studying at seminary and graduating there, he became the pastor of several Methodist churches in New York State. After some time, he requested transfer to the American West for health reasons. And he served the Lord then in such states as Utah, Wyoming, and Iowa. In 1872, he was the pastor of a Methodist church in Epworth, Iowa. Well, if you're a Methodist, you can't get a better name than Epworth. All right, you can know church history to appreciate that. All right. Because that goes back to the Wesleys. All right. But at that time, in 1872, there was a revival meeting in the church of which he was a pastor. And he decided to write a hymn for the occasion. He wrote the words and also the music of the hymn, "I Am Coming, Lord." Ira Sankey. Again, some of you may be familiar with that name. Ira Sankey lived from 1840 to 1908. He was an associate of the American evangelist Dwight Lyman, Dwight L. Moody. He led the singing for Moody's meetings. And also he would sing solos at Moody's meetings. But Sankey wrote about this particular hymn, "I Am Coming, Lord," and I quote, "The words and music of this beautiful hymn were first published in a monthly entitled Guide to Holiness, a copy of which was sent to me in England. I immediately adopted it and had it published in Sacred Songs and Solos. It proved to be one of the most helpful of the revival hymns and was often used as an invitation hymn in England and America." The end of the quote there by Ira Sankey. We're going to sing that hymn as our closing hymn today, "I Am Coming, Lord." And if you have not yet come to Christ, may the words of this hymn be the prayer of your heart. "I am coming, Lord, come now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flows on Calvary." Before we turn to that hymn, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the priorities that the Lord Jesus Christ has set for us. That the first priority in our life may be that question, "Have my sins be forgiven?" As Jesus told the paralytic, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." We know that he can forgive our sins if we but come to thee, admitting that we are sinners, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing our sins to thee, and asking thee to forgive us. Lord, we thank thee that thou hast promised that if we do that, thou wilt indeed forgive us and thou wilt save us. Lord, this is more than a promise. This is a fact, as thou hast given it to us in thy word. Lord, if there be any here that have not yet come to Christ to believe on him, may they do so today, even now, as we sing together, I am coming, Lord. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.